Maine Democrats have the governorship and majorities in both houses of the legislature, but that may not mean a complete end to conflict between the state's chief executive and legislators. This is Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Erwin Gratz with our Augusta reporting team, Mal Lurie and Steve Missler. It's that time of year when news reports begin to flesh out those 2,000 or so legislative proposals we talked about in our last edition. But one story stuck out as a signal of possible future conflict between Democratic Governor Janet Mills and her fellow party members in the legislature. The bill is being proposed by Maine House Speaker Sarah Gideon. It would provide paid leave to Maine employees, but it would pay for the cost by imposing a tax on employee earnings. As I asked Steve Missler, doesn't that open the door for Republicans to renew their cries of tax and spend Democrats?
Yeah, it certainly could. Now, it also creates a tension with Governor Janet Mills, who has vowed not to raise taxes. And so this paid sick leave proposal, which would, I think it's a half of a percent tax to pay for paid sick leave, certainly raises taxes. So immediately, right off the bat, you have this tension between Democratic legislators and the governor's office, you know, which doesn't want to raise taxes. Now, we've sort of talked about this, you know, the idea that Mills is going to have battles with Republicans, that seems relatively obvious, but some of her biggest challenges may be with a legislature that's controlled by Democrats and has a lot of pent-up demand for policies that it could not get accomplished. During the LePage years, there was a lot of overhauling of the tax code and shifting of the brackets and everything else. Well, Democrats want to undo some of that so that the more wealthy people pay higher taxes and that people below those high earners pay less. Now, the key is whether those proposals are revenue neutral.
And we were talking about pent-up demand, Erwin. I mean, one of the big pent-up demands are for investments in capital areas like broadband, roads and bridges, buildings. And the number of bond issues coming in is just unbelievable. And the problem there is bonds aren't free money. You got to pay them back with interest. So only so much bonding can go on in the course of a year.
And interest rates on those bonds are going to be higher now than they were 3 or 4 years ago because of the actions recently of the Federal Reserve.
That's right. And they're predicting potentially more increases in interest rates.
Mal, historically, though, we have seen this play out before, have we not, where a Democratic legislature has found itself butting up against a Democratic governor? I'm thinking particularly of during the Baldacci years.
Yeah, and we're seeing, let's use the example of the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. About 6 years ago, Governor LePage was able to put together what used to be conservation and forestry with agriculture. But what's forgotten in all of this is that Baldacci wanted to create this huge Department of Natural Resources that added even other agencies of state government, like Marine Resources, into this mega agency. And that got shot down by Democrats while he's the Democratic governor. So we've had these battles before that are not necessarily along party lines, but they're more along philosophical lines. And there are a number of folks who want smaller state agencies that will be focused on particular issues. I'm just waiting for the bill to come in, Steve, that says we're going to split up the Department of Health and Human Services into the Department of Health and the Department of Human Services.
Which used to be two agencies before.
Exactly. I suspect there's going to be legislation come in. Haven't seen the title yet, but there's a lot of those titles that are sort of misleading.
Funny you should mention agriculture, conservation, and forestry, because there actually are some press reports out there that people want to split that agency back up as well.
There's a battle underway, and part of this has been exacerbated as Janet Mills has been looking for a commissioner that puts different things together. And of course, the competing interests go, well, we want somebody that knows conservation. Well, we want somebody who knows dairy farming. We want somebody who knows potato farming. That's a battle that's been going on as long as we've had those departments around.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the reasons why it's taken so long for Janet Mills to name the commissioner of that agency. She was pretty quick out of the gate getting a lot of nominations announced, yet we're still waiting for that ag commissioner.
I want to back up a step on our discussion about taxes and that tension between the legislature and the governor. Do we have any signals from Governor Mills about how she does plan to handle spending proposals?
During her inauguration speech, she sort of sent this message that, listen, we need to be careful. You know, there could be a recession right around the corner, so we can't go hog wild ripping through our state surplus, raising taxes, approving initiatives that we can't pay for. How she treats spending initiatives is probably best addressed in her two-year budget. She has a lot of initiatives, which will require money, and we will see how she plans to pay for those things. We'll see how it shakes out, but I suspect that she's going to try to do what she can, either filling unfilled positions, which have gone unfilled over the last 8 years in various agencies, or shuffling things around in such a way that she can achieve some of her initiatives without having to expand state government and then having to pay for it in another way.
And complicating her issue here with the budget is the fact that the surplus is not an ongoing surplus. I mean, I thought she sent a pretty strong hint in her inaugural address that she may do the same thing as Governor LePage has done and put some of that in the rainy day fund, worried about what might happen down the road.
Just to kind of turn that table just a little bit, I was talking with a Democratic member of the House yesterday who's been there for 4 years, all of those under LePage, who was talking about how much more pleasant it's been for her since the election of Janet Mills. So Democrats are much happier now than they were a few months ago.
You know, we're going back to what the way things used to be. I ran into Jeff Gratwick, a senator from Bangor, who was marveling that he was able to go over and spend a half an hour talking with the new commissioner of HHS, just talking about various issues they're going to have to deal with, because all the questions had to go to the department in writing under the LePage administration. And what's more, this is going to be a regular feature. They're going to try to get together the two co-chairs of HHS and the commissioner on a regular basis to talk about these ongoing issues, try to keep some communication between them. Well, for those of us who've been around a while, this is what used to happen under Baldacci. This is what used to happen under McCurtain. I mean, we're talking about really an aberration under LePage in terms of the lack of communication between lawmakers and heads of agencies.
What LePage did was basically erect this wall between the legislature and the executive branch. I mean, he would not allow his commissioners, you know, to go and testify before legislative committees of oversight, for example, without his permission. And then sometimes, instead of granting permission, he would just show up. And so he would just go, and that became a news story in and of itself, because sometimes he would go and he would just say a bunch of things that didn't make a lot of sense or didn't address actually the policy initiative or the oversight issue at hand. This was happened all the time in the Appropriations Committee. But what Mal is alluding to is a return to the normal. There's going to be at least an open line of communications. There's not going to be this wall with one person standing as gatekeeper deciding who gets to talk to the executive branch.
By the way, this is a part personal, but do we know how has the new Mills administration been treating the news media and access?
It's night and day. I mean, it really is. I can't tell you how many times I would shoot off an email or a phone call, and it would just go into a black hole under the LePage administration. We would get nothing, crickets. And that's just not what's going on here. The test, of course, in press access is, will the governor and or her commissioners be available when there's a controversy, or will they just go by the press release?
And the reality is, Erwin, we're never going to get as much access as we want as reporters.
That's right.
Because we're going to want to get more information and more information. You know, those are the realities of the day-to-day life that we deal with as we're trying to find out what's going on, particularly with this incredible interaction we have going on with the federal government.
Has the administration come out yet with any kinds of concrete suggestions of things they might do to help federal workers who remain furloughed without pay, or to deal with things like the potential cutoff in food stamp aid, which could come as early as the beginning of March?
All they've been able to do is speed up the payments under the food stamp program. I should say SNAP benefits, that's the proper term these days, to make sure the folks would have that money on their cards available for February. The problem there, of course, is it's going to be more of a challenge for those folks to make sure that money lasts through all of February. And as we've seen from out of Washington, there's no guarantees this thing's going to be solved anytime in the near future.
And we also haven't had to deal with the furloughed federal workers that are here yet either, because the Mills administration has made it clear that they're going to continue to keep those people on the job at least until the end of February, if I recall correctly. I'm not sure what the end date is for the money to run out, but the idea is to keep them working. But if this thing doesn't end in Washington, if it doesn't get resolved soon, that's another issue that she's going to have to deal with. When there was a shutdown in the LePage administration, he called a state of emergency. Mm-hmm. That is another option for her.
If this goes on much longer, you're going to have to start laying off workers. You don't have money to pay them.
That's right.
And the state doesn't have the money to pick them up. When you've got agencies like the Department of Labor, where 95% of the budget is federal money, that's going to be in a real bad shape. So is the Department of Environmental Protection, that has a significant number of federal positions. And of course, there's the Department of Health and Human Services that also has a lot of federal money involved.
And as you pointed out in your story earlier this week, Mal, it could have a big impact too on transportation, especially because it's even now that many contracts are being bid and a lot of activity has to happen now if construction is to happen next spring and summer.
They're really worried that if this thing continues through the quarter, which is what some people are saying in Washington, they're going to have to stop writing contracts. And if it gets that bad, they might have to stop projects that are underway. And they're really not happy with that because our construction season is so short. If you bring this whole big process to a halt, you just don't turn it around and start it up again overnight.
And then you can layer on top of that the economic impact from a lot of construction workers who won't have work this summer. And
exactly, and a lot of economic impact we're having now from federal workers in Maine that aren't working.
So one of the things that is about to happen is the governor is getting ready to follow through with what she suggested in her inaugural speech, a new department of the future. And it reminds me, Mal Leary, of the old state planning office, which it seems to me did some of what the governor envisions this new office doing.
Janet Mills is bringing back the state planning office with a different name that is a little bit more sexy, the Office of Innovation. But I think that's part of what's going on. There were a lot of folks when Governor LePage dismantled the planning office who wondered how is he going to plan for stuff going out in the future, and it became obvious that he was going to do it on a very haphazard basis, department by department, issue by issue.
What's interesting is the effort to dismantle the state planning office came very early in the governor's first term. And what that office did before was provide sort of guidance to municipalities for land use, economic development. And what I suspect we'll see going forward is a focus on climate change, which falls into both of those categories. If you think about it, you know, if you want to give guidance to municipalities about, say, I don't know, the height to build roads, if you happen to be a coastal community, you know, you might want to build those roads a little higher if sea levels rise the way they're predicted to do, which is one of the reasons why I think environmental groups are excited about the Office of Innovation in the future, because there will be a climate change focus. It's interesting, too, the way the planning office was dissolved. It became this Office of Policy and Management with the idea of saving $1 million in state government every single year. Now, that happened in 2012, and I cannot think of one single proposal to achieve that goal. Instead, what it became is sort of this holding tank for certain state bureaucrats to put out papers that I don't even remember the value of them, quite frankly. And now Governor Mills, and this actually kind of goes back to the idea of how is she going to pay for some of her initiatives? Well, there might be a lot of savings in just, you know, shuffling over all the money that was devoted to this Office of Policy and Management under LePage to the Office of Innovation in the future.
Steve Mistler, our State House Bureau Chief, and Mal Leary, our Chief Political Correspondent. And that's Maine's Political Pulse for this week. You can hear abbreviated versions of The Pulse Fridays on Morning Edition. We also air it Sundays on Weekend Edition. And our next podcast will be next Friday afternoon. Our producer is Willis Ryder Arnold. Music is by Rob Holt. I'm Erwin Gratz. And we'll be back next week.